You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Hangabout. It's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Amy Adams.
Tēnā koe, Amy. How are you going?
I'm going really well, thank you. How are you?
Good, thanks. Laura tells me that you were overseas last week. So whereabouts in the world were you?
I was in Hong Kong.
Oh, all right.
Incredibly interesting, actually. I've never spent any time there. So, yeah, fascinating place.
That's cool. What were you doing while you were over there?
It was a sort of a guest of government thing. So the Hong Kong government took me over to show me around, and I was particularly interested in the amount of infrastructure they're building and the way they're doing it. It's pretty impressive. I came back with infrastructure envy.
I love that. So you're back in New Zealand now, though, and what part of the country are you in today?
I'm in a very wet, cold Christchurch.
Of course.
29 yesterday, and now it's like 6 degrees. It's not pleasant.
It's not too good in Auckland, so you don't need to be too jealous, but apparently we've got a good day tomorrow.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, it's definitely spring.
So we'll get into it. The Reserve Bank announced yesterday that they'll be keeping the official cash rate low at 1.75%. Are you pleased that the rate is being held steady?
I think that's been well signalled for a long time. It's what everyone was expecting. The interesting thing for us yesterday was to look at just a commentary around what the Reserve Bank governor was saying. And he's still pretty cautious, signalling that if growth next year doesn't sort of hold up above 2%, we'll have to cut the rate even further. And while inflation, he thinks, is showing signs of picking up, he's going to watch that. But again, he signalled if that starts to take off, he'll have to move further. So we've still got really expansionary conditions in New Zealand. In fact, now lower than most of the rest of the world. So still a bit of a bit of signs from him that he's concerned with how our economy's looking and not convinced that it's heading in the right direction yet.
All right. Well, he did say that he thought it could help with maximising sustainable employment and that this is something that could continue to happen until 2020. So are you confident that keeping the cash rate steady will help with that progression?
Well, actually, what he said yesterday was that he thought we're at maximum sustainable employment and that he really thought monetary policy wasn't a great deal it could do further at the moment. So he was pretty relaxed about that, obviously, with the employment numbers out during the week. He signalled that he actually thinks we're pretty much there. Mostly what he's talking about is his concern between whether economic growth continues to lag or whether inflation starts to pick up, and that's really clearly what he's choosing between. But I think pretty strong signals that the cash rate's going to stay low for a little while yet.
Right. Now, moving to legislation, Parliament has just passed a bill banning new oil and gas exploration, but your party has pledged to reverse this ban if back in government.
Absolutely.
Why is that?
Well, because this is foolhardy legislation that was dreamt up on the fly and doesn't even do what it purports to do. So all of the advice that the ministers have had on this say that this won't help the environment. In fact, it will make our global emissions worse. And it's a lovely sounding idea, and everyone wants to see us transitioning away from fossil fuels. So that's not the issue. But the issue is absolutely around all of the evidence being very clear, we need gas to help us transition away. Now, right at the moment, hard to believe when we're standing here in the middle of a rainstorm, but our hydro lakes are really low. We've got problems with our gas supply, and we've had our energy generators having to burn coal to pick up the shortfall. Now, we want to get them away from coal, but the reality is we just cannot get anywhere near building the electricity, renewable electricity generation we need to simply shut off gas. We need that gas to transition us away from fossil fuels, and if we don't have it, the country's not just going to not turn the lights on for months at a time. It's going to end up importing gas, and that imported gas has a 40% higher emissions profile. So look, everyone's keen to move away from fossil fuels, but this sort of shooting from the hip solution isn't the way, and that's what every single piece of advice that's come to ministers has said, but they've ignored it and just determined to do something that sounds good. It just makes no sense environmentally or economically.
So perhaps you don't want to back this exact initiative, but the moving away from fossil fuels, is it not something that you want to see succeed at all?
Yeah, well, that's what I just... No, well, you're not listening. I just said we absolutely support a transition plan away from fossil fuels, but this is not the way to do it.
Okay. How would you suggest doing it instead?
So what we need to do is obviously take a long-term view of how we are going to slowly increase our supply of renewable energies. I'm sure you're aware New Zealand already has one of the highest rates of renewable energy in the world. So instead, I just got back from Hong Kong and they're sort of sitting at around 5 or 6% renewables and looking at how they can use more gas to slowly get down the proportion of coal and diesel they're burning. So we absolutely want to see that rate of renewable energy go up. But to take us away from our gas supplies, we need to be building a new Clyde Dam every 12 months. Now, that's simply not even feasible, even if there was the willingness in the private sector to invest in it. So we have to use gas to get us off the reliance on coal and diesel in the first term. We have to encourage the uptake of more, obviously, electric vehicles in the transport fleet. And over time, as we have to build more renewable stations, we've got to see communities in the RMA being much more supportive of building those renewable generation sources. As we do that, then we can come off more gas, but until that's in place, we're going to need that gas supply.
All right, so moving to another thing that the government has just done. They've just announced that they'll devote $3 million to a Rātana community near Whanganui for land development. And Anaya Mahuta called it a development of the goals set out in the Rātana housing strategy of 2009 that belonged to National. So is your party pleased to see the government building on this area of housing initiatives?
To be honest, it's not a particular development I know a great deal about. And it's the government's proposal. You could talk to them about it. I think what's far more interesting that the government's done this week is show this incredible reluctance to explain why they've allowed Carol Schrubeck, this drug dealer, to stay in New Zealand. And I'm sort of surprised actually that didn't come up on the list of topics. We had several weeks talking about Jamie Lee Ross, but the big live issue in balancing the government at the moment is the Minister Eanley's getaway decision, having not read the whole file and within an hour, to give the serious criminal residency and cancellous deportation.
Sure, you could
be
right.
So that's the issue that I think is probably more topical at the moment.
At BFM, we are sort of concerned with stuff that faces young people, and housing is definitely one of those, so it's sort of why I'd quite like to know if you think that's a good strategy.
I'm not saying it's not another important issue. Of course it is, although you're also equally concerned with the Jamie Lee Ross issues, so it does seem to be a little bit partisan. But look, the Rātana development, as I say, it's just not one that I know the detail of. It's something the Rātana community is supporting and will be helpful for their people, then, look, that's a good thing.
Sure. So finally then, Trevor Mallard has been looking into cyber attacks that Parliament in particular is at risk of.
Yeah.
And he asked the Privileges Committee to consider allowing a third party to provide cyber security protection for Parliament. So as a parliamentarian, are you hoping that some third party protection would be enabled?
I do think cybersecurity is something the Parliament has to take incredibly seriously. It's something that I've been quite concerned about in terms of the Parliament and the government more broadly for a number of years. I was one of my ministerial roles included responsibility for cybersecurity, and we were very concerned about this. Of course, when you're talking about Parliament, it really has to have the consent of all MPs, because you can imagine Labour weren't too keen on National putting in place cybersecurity across their computers and vice versa. So when you're talking sort of cross-party, obviously, we've all got concerns to ensure that it's handled absolutely independently and appropriately. But I think the Speaker is quite right. I think cybersecurity is a much more serious issue than most New Zealanders realise.
Right.
I think it's critical that fundamental institutions of our society, like Parliament and like ministerial offices and like public departments and banks and all those institutions, have really strong cybersecurity. And I think it is timely that's looked at, and I hope he gets the very best of advice and that the Privileges Committee work through the obvious concerns that there'll be around ensuring that MPs' information is still secure.
Sure. And cybersecurity kind of is an issue that you never really realise is a problem until it is one, so it does seem
totally
like a good thing to guard against.
Yeah, and I think, to be honest, people would be amazed if they knew the full extent of cybersecurity attacks that happen in New Zealand every single day, and most of them are luckily prevented and blocked by our internet providers and some of the national security infrastructure. But actually, there's still a huge amount that gets through, and as you say, until it happens, we're all a bit complacent about it. But I think it's a timely reminder for everyone to be thinking about their cyber protection and all those good old messages about your passwords.
A changing world.
That's right. It's just the reality of our more technological age.
For sure. Now, I know that Laura likes to finish by asking you a question about lifestyle advice. So we've been seeing all week
advice.
That there's...
I don't have a lifestyle. I don't know what advice I can give. But
well, I did notice that there's pretty bad weather in the South Island at the moment. So I wondered how you like to spend your bad weather weekends.
To be honest, bad weather weekends, good weather weekends, I'm a bit of a hermit. When I'm not working, I like kind of just holding up at home with the family and the dog and the cat and reading a good book and a bit of Netflix. I'm not a very active person, I guess. When I'm not working, we end up so exhausted at the end of the week that the couch, a glass of red wine, a good book and the dog cuddled up beside me is pretty much bliss.
That sounds fair enough. Well, I hope you have a good time doing that this weekend.
Hey, thanks so much. You too.
Thanks, Amy.
The National Party's Amy Adams on 95 BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.